Hey guys, it's Di here at GalaxyCon New Orleans. Wanted to drop in a note that we recorded this episode just before learning that Ava Starr was officially introduced into Marvel Comics this past Wednesday. Unfortunately, we don't cover her arrival in this particular episode, all about Ghost, so be sure to check out the Superior Avengers number 4 to hear all about the story, now available. Enjoy!
Hi. I'm Ava.
Hello and welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities between Marvel Comics and their MCU counterparts. And we are your hosts, Jeffrey.
And
Yeller, yeller, heller. And welcome back,
Yelaner.
Everybody.
Yelaner. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. So a lot of stuff has happened since our last episode.
It feels like it has.
And yet not.
Right? Yeah.
Well, I think the big one is, and it's the first thing on our notes, is that Marvel was just like straight up, here are the first three episodes of Ironheart.
Yeah.
And here are the last three episodes.
That's right. I remember
they
yeah.
dropped the. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And so our timing for our episodes revolved around Ironheart being released weekly.
That's right.
And now it's out. It was out in 2 weeks. So,
yeah.
So the season has officially wrapped and quicker than expected, all that said. And so we're going to talk about the season in its full glory, but next time on the show, after this week, after this episode. So, quick takes, overall rating.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. It was
fun.
Good.
Well
I mean,
made.
Yeah, I will. I mean, it's really good, like compared to like what probably what the internet says. It's super interesting. I definitely have not hot takes, but just like I just can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah. I know. And I want to rewatch it, but I will say, spoiler alert, I will say, so Jeffrey forced my hand
because
he texted me late at night and he was like, James McAvoy gif from Taken.
Wanted.
There you go. From Wanted. Fanning himself. And I was like, oh no, that means Wanda's in it. And so I started to get really paranoid. I legit couldn't sleep. I was like, oh my God, is Wanda in the show?
Oh my, I wish.
And I was like, really? Because I was like, Daisy Johnson wouldn't make, well. And then I was like, who else is Jeff's wifey? Kate? And so I was like, I can't sleep. So I was going to watch it.
In the morning or the next day?
At like 1 a.m. or something. And then I was like, No. Let me try and sleep. And so I had to make the long drive the next morning for work. I downloaded those episodes.
Oh my God.
And I watched them because traffic.
Sure. It's horrible.
It's horrible.
You can probably finish two episodes.
I did. And I did. I finished two episodes. I watched the first one before I left work as I was getting ready. And then the last two I saved on my phone.
Yeah.
And I watched slash listened to them on the way, and dead ass, again, spoiler alert, dead ass, when Sacha Baron Cohen showed up,
yeah.
I cannot tell you the noise that I made, and he confirmed
yeah.
he was Mephisto. I was like, maniacal witch laugh, and I was like, oh my God, he's finally here.
I know.
He's finally
and,
here.
And yeah, we'll talk about it when
we'll
we do,
talk
but
about
like,
it. Yeah,
but
dude.
Yeah, he
great.
He killed it.
Loved it. But yeah, I want to rewatch it before we chat about it. But excellent show. I think it
yes.
was excellent. So, I mean, I'm glad that it got the rating it deserves.
Yeah.
Because that was a tough battle for a minute. But definitely check it out. Full season, now streaming.
Yes.
And then we also saw the first teaser for Eyes of Wakanda, created by Todd Harris and developed by Ryan Coogler. Speaking of Ryan Coogler's
he's on a
projects,
roll, man.
He is on a roll. And so that series is set to drop August 27th, which is likely the end of the marketing cycle for Fantastic Four.
Mm.
So they're letting Fantastic Four have all of August and basically since May. And then here comes Eyes of Wakanda. And then they're probably going to bookend it with Wonder Man,
yes.
which is kind of what they're doing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we've seen a couple new
yeah.
teaser things from
it was
Wonder
a teaser,
Man, too. Yeah.
I saw the stills. I didn't watch it yet.
Yeah.
I just been too busy. But
yeah.
Is it part of like the...
No, it was like a 6-second clip. It was okay. kind of like a one of those teasers thing, like coming yeah. soon or whatever,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
And it was like 3-4 clips from okay. Wonder Man.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. But yeah, so things are really starting to speed up again. But Fantastic Four, man, it's all here. It's all coming through.
This whole July is Fantastic Four.
Yeah, it's Fantastic July. So I'll just skip to that note. But yeah, we're in the final stretch of Fantastic Four land. And so it's basically here. They're rolling out the blue carpet. They introduced this amazing deal. And so if you have not bought tickets, now through July 13th, if you buy 4 tickets to see the film, you get a limited edition 7-inch blue vinyl of the theme song for free.
Dude, imagine just having that song on repeat on vinyl.
Oh my gosh.
Fantastic Four!
And so that's an amazing collectible.
Like, I know, truly, that's cool. 4 tickets?
You gotta buy 4 though. You gotta buy 4, and it's while supplies last.
Yeah.
So I don't know the details beyond that. I didn't look into it. I was too mad that I wasn't gonna be doing this deal. But if you haven't yet and you love vinyl like I do, I mean, that's pretty awesome. And then, of course, as Jeff and I were talking before we started recording, more teasers and clips and remixes and all that stuff are coming out. I still have not watched any of them. Jeff is disappointed, but I'm just so excited.
They're smart this yeah, time. They're not giving away much.
Good.
They're really, so like, they're really, as soon as you're like, yes, yeah, they just take it right away.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm still not going to watch it because I'm almost there. I'm almost there.
We're almost there.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready to go in with fresh eyes and be so excited. So before we get into our episode, the last thing on my list was actually Marvel Rivals. I know we haven't really played. Have you played at all?
Rarely in the last... I played maybe a week or two ago.
Oh, really?
But... Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played.
It's been very long.
It's probably the last time you and I played is when I played.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's been a minute. But they are unraveling Krakoa and the Hellfire Gala. And so they just dropped the very long anticipated Jean Grey and Blade. And they're now in the game. And so I don't know if you've played with Jean yet.
No, I haven't even done that update yet.
Yeah, she...
I saw Symbiote Spider-Man also.
Yeah, all the symbiotes are in. I think there's a Black Widow symbiote, a Free Storm one, or at least the MVP screen.
Yeah.
They're introducing all these new trinkets and accessories and stuff in the game. And I'm like, I already know when I turn it back on, I'm going to be like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
I'm kind of scared, but I just want to see it. But yeah, it looks awesome. I will not be playing that seriously because it's scary in there. But yeah, I mean, they look great. So I'm sure more of the X-Men are coming.
Yep.
And Jean looks like she is an amalgamation of Dagger, Emma Frost, and maybe a touch of Invisible Woman. But she's
that's
also got...
That's a good combo right there.
It's just a good combo. And she's got the Phoenix Force with her.
Wow.
So I...
OP.
Yeah. So, yeah. You already know what's happening. So check out Marvel Rivals if you're still playing or haven't played yet.
Exactly.
That's a good update. And so all that said, let's dive into this episode's character study. But first, a reminder, we're not experts and we don't claim to be. We're just a couple of nerds nerding out. And in this episode, we're nerding out. Over.
Ghost.
So for related episodes, episode 49, Ant-Man 49. Holy moly, he was almost the halfway point to
that
where
is
we
crazy.
Are now. And 107, Thunderbolts, for more on Ghost. But as far as the character and their origin is concerned, created by David Michelinie and Bob Layton. So by now, these names should be pretty familiar to our listeners because we've been saying these names a lot more lately. They've co-created some of the greats when it comes to Marvel Comics and like kind of like, you know, the B-sides of the hero teams. But they also created Ant-Man, Rhodey, as well as War Machine. And so Ghost is also one of the ones that they've taken the helm with. And so Ghost first appeared in, of all titles, Iron Man number 219.
Whoa.
Released in June 1987.
87,
so here's the cover for you, Jeff. And it is plain and simple, Ghost versus Iron Man.
Wow. Oh, wow.
The Ghost and the Machine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like Ghost in the Machine.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so pretty straightforward. It is Ghost, semi-transparent, fighting Iron Man. Ghost himself looks like a mix of Moon Knight and Taskmaster.
Yes.
Right? Right?
Yeah. More, yeah, actually.
Yeah, and the suit is white, but we'll get into all of that fun stuff soon enough. And so, do you want to give a guess for the cover price?
You said 89?
1987.
87?
87.
Oof. A buck?
Oof. Almost. Less.
Less?
Yeah.
Young 75?
Young 75. 75 cents would have gotten you this issue back in the day. Cool three quarters. So as far as the available copies online go, the highest graded I found on Shortbox was a CGC 9.8 for 300 buckaroos. Oh, and then on eBay, there was a CGC 9.8 for $1,900.
Whoa, okay, that's a jump,
huge,
sure.
Huge contrast, and that's higher than the Signature Series listing. So I don't know what's going on there.
Okay.
I don't think there was anything special about it. The person was just like, ooh, Thunderbolts is hot. I'm going to put it up for way too much money and see if somebody buys it. So shame on them. But the lowest graded I found on Shortbox was a CGC 7.5. For $60, and then on eBay, a 7.0 for just $30. So you can get this book pretty decently for the cost of three Starbucks. You know what I mean? So not a bad investment.
That's a good way to put it.
Right, if you like this character. And then fair market value ranges between $180 to $250 as far as the issue is concerned. So these are all pretty good prices aside the $1,900. Mm-hmm. And then if you wanted this issue raw, you could probably get one for starting $10 to about $30, depending.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be more than $50. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
So, first exposure to the character.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be the first one. Second Ant-Man. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I don't.
Honestly.
No, yeah.
I think me too, actually.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know about Avengers. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I wasn't an Avenger girly as a baby. I was very X-Men and Spider-Man. So yeah, I don't think I was at all familiar with Ghost until that film. And even then, I was like,
who is this?
Is this a real character? Or is it a movie character? And as you'll come to know, as we talk about this character, you might as well have been an original character. Very different. Well, for the most part. So, remarkably enough, there is no Ghost in our mini books, nor are there any trading cards of Ghost.
Interesting.
So this episode's bio comes courtesy of Marvel Contest of Champions, which is a mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
So this is reflective of the MCU version.
Okay.
But in a lot of ways, it is kind of reminiscent of the comic book, so I don't feel so bad reading it. But the bio says, you can't fight what you don't know, and nobody seems to know anything about who Ghost is or how she can do the things she can do. Feared and admired in the criminal underworld for her ability to phase through solid walls, Ghost's true intentions are as elusive as she is, though the one thing is for sure, she's interested in getting her hands on all of the Pym tech she can find. Her advanced technology combined with her skill in combat make her a force to be reckoned with. So, very interesting.
Yeah.
That is the Ghost that we are familiar with.
Yes.
However, in the comics, again, you'll find that there is a lot in common with this one. So, as for the first appearance of this character in the comics, perhaps the most significantly different character in the entire franchise, like, I'm talking MCU, perhaps the most different.
Uh-huh.
Aside those that are obviously amalgamations or original characters like Darcy Lewis and stuff like that. Not to mention that Ghost is notably male in the comics.
Wow.
Not a woman. Definitely a male.
Uh-huh.
And we don't even know his true identity.
Really?
Period.
Like not a name.
Nope. Nothing. And so it's kind of crazy.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And so The issue of Ghost's origin itself is a day in the life of Tony Stark. So it's, again, this is the 80s. This is late 80s. This is hot pants and crop tops Tony Stark. Running around, jogging, getting his fitness in, you know, flirting with ladies.
Yeah.
And it ends, it kind of dovetails into Iron Man saving the day. There's a fire. He helps the firemen. Good day for Iron Man. Typical day for Tony Stark.
Uh-huh.
And so later, Tony is meeting up with the board of a company named Accutech, who's in the developmental stages of creating something called a beta particle generator. And so when it comes to said particles, it's best described by a character named Mr. O'Connor himself.
Okay.
And so he states, microscopic beta particles pass through space and the Earth every second of the day. If those particles could be slowed down in their cosmic passage, even minutely, an enormous amount of energy could be generated, more cheaply than solar and more safely than nuclear. And so there's this is a moment in Tony Stark's life where he is not the billionaire that can just spend his money and still be very comfortable.
Yes.
He's actually kind of on the other side of the spectrum where he's very wealthy, but he's looking to hedge fund and halo invest.
Interesting.
And purchase other companies to then maybe break off or have the tech under Stark Enterprises so he can build his business up higher.
Yeah.
So he's looking for equity and he's looking to build his fortune. So it's still kind of, it's not obviously not the early stages, but it's definitely in a part in his life where he's not at his peak at all.
Yeah.
Like he can't just burn through Iron Man suits. And so there is a snag when it comes to all of this. And so despite the advancements they've made with the tech, they're not able to develop a transfer link. So they have no way to actually transfer this energy that they're siphoning and creating. And so that's where Tony came in. And he offered to buy the company and save the tech from being lost to bankruptcy. Because if they lost their funding, it's all gone. The science is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, Stark came in with his money and he was like, I'm going to save the company. We're going to keep the research going. And hopefully this will get me out of the hole, is basically what Stark was hoping for. And it's then that the mention of the ghost first arises by another man in the boardroom mentioning what is believed to be an old hacker's tale per Stark. So he's aware of this legend, like, oh, there's a ghost. There's an Accutech ghost. And, you know, and it's an urban legend. And so Stark himself called it the electronic boogeyman who destroys company for fun and profit. And so Mr. Zimmer, this is the man who brought up Ghost in the first place. He's like shaken and he's just kind of like, you could tell he's older than the other gentleman in the boardroom. And he's just very wary. And he says, I saw him walk through my office once. He literally walked through the wall. And O'Connor, who is the main guy, he immediately dismisses it and he doesn't want to dissuade Stark from buying the company. So he's like, yeah. No, don't listen to him. He's just an old man. He's about to retire. Don't worry. And so he's basically working on Stark to ensure to lock in the deal. And so Stark returns to his newest foundation located, quote unquote, north of L.A., a.k.a. Malibu. Yeah, so imagine, if you will, this is the part in Tony's life where he's not in New York, he's in LA, and he's in California, and he's over there like he is in the first or second Iron Man movie.
Oh, second Iron Man.
And so he's,
oh, no, that might be the third Iron Man, the Malibu? Third,
Malibu. Yeah, Malibu. So he's already over there. And so despite that, this is the moment, again, he's struggling to get by. So Accutech really has to be his big grab or else. He loses everything. And so amidst all this, and amidst the deal finally going into motion, things start happening around Accutech. Tech starts turning on by itself. People are levitated and tossed around.
My gosh.
Quite literally a ghost. And so Tony excuses himself while visiting. He excuses himself to do a little recon. And he's like, okay, I'm going to see what all of this is about. You know, what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
And then Tony encounters the ghost himself. And so, as you can see, once again, looking very Taskmaster and Moon Knight-like.
It's like a perfect hybrid of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ghost comes out. Congratulations! And then Iron Man.
It's like a Kool-Aid man. Yeah. Hello! Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so they come into contact with one another. And so Tony then pursues ghosts throughout Accutec. So he's just like, he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
He's never seen this before in his life. And so he pursues him throughout the building to the point where he's barraging and destroying the walls he just bought to pursue him. And so it isn't until he uses the sonic wave of sorts that Ghost is slowed down, but still not out for the count, only to disappear after tossing a sound-activated grenade into the mix. And then he escapes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And by this point, Tony has realized, okay, this is a real person, because Ghost, in the middle of that, Ghost manifested in his full form, and he introduced himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you have succeeded where most have failed. You have indeed uncovered the Ghost. And that's what he refers to himself as, is the ghost. And so, yeah, so Tony takes him down with the sonic wave, and he decides to just take off, as all these villains seem to do.
Yeah.
And not without leaving a warning to get revenge on the new owner, a.k.a. Tony Stark. Because remember, in this point in time, Tony Stark and Iron Man are two different people.
Mm.
People don't know. No,
they don't know.
Yeah, and so he fought Iron Man, but he's like, I'm going to get revenge on the owner of this company. And so he wrote this ridiculously long threatening letter.
Oh my God.
On the computer. And it says, Iron Man, you hurt me, but you've won nothing. You cannot stop someone who can go anywhere, do anything, be anyone. Still, you must be punished, and in a very special way. So tell your employer, Anthony Stark, that he is a dead man.
It's like, oh my gosh.
I'm not going to threaten you. I'm just going to tell you what you did to me, and then I'm going to kill your boss, is basically what he's done. So he then tries to get revenge on Stark and Iron Man throughout the next three issues. So it's an arc.
Oh my gosh.
It's a typical arc. And it's just a lot of that. It's a lot of like, let me tell you my story while we're fighting. And it's just pretty funny because like this, I had to take this screenshot. I just thought this was hilarious. Imagine having this problem, Jeff. He's like, I gotta clear this junk out of the way. And it's like money. Literally thousands of dollars.
Just money.
Ghost, yeah. I have to clear the junk from my work area.
That's so funny.
It's so funny. And so, yeah, it's a three-issue arc. Definitely worth a read. It's one of my suggested reads at the end. And so that's where we leave off with Ghost in their first appearance.
Uh-huh.
As for the origin story itself, oh my goodness. So we don't get a true origin for Ghost until decades later in 2010. So this is nearly 25 years after the character debuted that we actually get a look into his backstory in the pages of Thunderbolts of all titles. And what makes his origin so wild is that while we see Ghost's face, so this is the man behind Ghost, is this guy, okay?
Uh-huh.
Although we see his face.
Yes.
Unlike Taskmaster, this person's name is redacted in every bubble of the issue.
That's interesting.
So they have dialogue, and it'll literally be like, so what you're trying to tell me is that every bubble.
Interesting.
So you never find out what his name is. But it seemed that this man worked at a tech company called Omnisapient, excelling at what often took multiple people to do, a single job in a single swing. So he took the role of top tech head, and he was heralded for his work ethic. He would work till 10 p.m. Sometimes he would just stay over and use the executive showers and just work. He was all about the grind. And so it seemed that this man was working on a processor that could alter its physical state. And so it was described as a phase shift that would allow to store massive amounts of data, nicknamed Ghost Tech, because it could go intangible before overheating, but still able to function in flux state.
Ah.
So it could hold, this one tiny chip could hold servers and buildings worth of data, and it would just go, before overheating, it would just go intangible, but still be able to operate.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a really interesting concept. I'm like, okay. But it wasn't perfect. And so even with severe delays, this man still made sure everything stayed course, even at his own expense. So he stopped going home. And in the issue itself, I read in panel mode when I'm reading digitally. Uh-huh. So it looks like it's full screen, and then I swipe, it's another panel.
Yeah.
There are pages in this issue where you're swiping panels and he's deteriorating between panels. He's working so hard that his eyes start to droop. You Whoa. See more wrinkles. Uh-huh. His hair gets longer.
My gosh.
Yeah, it's really distressing. I'm like, ooh, that's too real. But luckily, as drop day approached, everything started to align in his life. Things start to get better. He was making massive amounts of money. His love life started to flourish because he was very much like, I'm too busy. I have to work.
Yeah.
But he ended up dating a woman from the office. So it seemed like, okay, great. This is awesome. Yeah. Which, despite his enormous successes, it ended up being his ultimate downfall. Because Shauna, the coworker he ended up making this life with,
uh-huh.
then dies in a house fire.
Jeez.
He's working. He goes to his office, his desk, and he goes, hey, has anybody seen Shauna? And the coworker's like, did you not see the news? And Oof. He's like, what are you talking about? Sees the news, and it's all over it. House fire. And she's dead. She's gone. And rather than properly grieve, this man immersed himself in his work. So you really see he's a type A, but like in the most monstrous way. And he fully embraced his work, even physically, essentially making his own body a circuit board. So he started to experiment on himself. And he started to implant the technology onto his own body to see what the capacity would be like be able to withhold that data in his own mind.
Uh-huh.
And he considered it a quote-unquote better place because at least in a data board or as a data board, things made sense. 0-1 meant something. Whereas in the real world,
yeah,
there are too many variables. Things could go wrong.
Uh-huh.
He started to slip away because after he lost her, yeah. he was like...
Just downhill from there. Yeah, yeah.
He really, really lost himself. And so at least with data, all the problems could be solved. And it was limitless, especially with the technology that he had created. And unfortunately, to his own detriment, he uncovered the truth about Shauna because he opened up this vast amount of data. So when he hooked himself up to the servers at work... He exposed all of the data that the company was holding from him.
Oof.
And he found out that she had been paid handsomely by the company to seduce him.
Oh my gosh.
And keep him working on their project.
No.
Yeah, it's really sad. And so her job was quite literally make him happy, make him want to work, make him keep him in it, keep his head in the game. And it was convenient because she worked there. So even if he started to slip, oh, do you want to go on vacation? But it wouldn't be like amazing if we just stayed home and then you could finish your project. You know, gosh. Like really ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so she then got too ballsy and decided, well, if I'm spending all this time with him, I want more money or I'm going to expose you. So what did they do?
Blow the house up.
They killed her. So she died. And of course, that's where we find him now. And so when they realized, I know, it's tragic. When they realized that he caught on, they attempted to then kill him. But attempting to blow somebody up in 700 degree heat when they're covered in these flux state processes that are... supposed to go intangible under uh-huh. immense pressure, had a strange effect on someone, and then it created the character Ghost from right there. That was the crux. That was the turning point. And so Ghost then began to pick off his enemies, the people who made him that way, one by one. And he quite literally goes after, because there were three main people.
Yeah.
He went after each one slowly but surely, killed them all off. And then after that, he decided to erase his previous life from existence. He went into the servers of everything, removed his birth certificate, his family, his blood, his data. Everything was gone. So everything about this person does not exist. It's just Ghost now. And so since then, Ghost has only focused his destruction on companies like Omnisapien, targeting oppressive corporate hierarchy itself.
Holy.
Yeah. He's like the ultimate hacker, which is very interesting.
Yeah, super interesting.
Considering what we have been dealt with, yeah. Right? And so the last screenshot that I pulled up from the comics I read is Ghost after it all went down.
Yeah.
And he simply says, you can't arrest somebody who's already dead.
Oof.
And this was before he made a plane crash with one of his...
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, very interesting origin story. I was like, wow, that would have been wild to see. But I guess with people like Justin Hammer in the mix already and Obadiah Stane.
Yeah. It's like, in terms of like tech wise. Yeah.
How do you pull away from the tech thing? And also, again, he debuted in Iron Man.
Yeah.
So he's technically an Iron Man villain. So for them to pull back from that and then the MCU instead introduce Ava Starr, portrayed by Hannah John Kamen, and Ray Lynn Breton as a child, very different situation.
Very.
But it is clever if you think about it because, yeah, as much as they're relying on the tech to tell the story in the comics, to then kind of take that and then branch out in a way that's like, oh, let's make it about the particles.
Yeah.
And then bring it into Hank Pym land. Yeah. That's pretty genius, to
crazy.
Be honest.
And your mentor's giant man?
Yeah, Goliath. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we first saw Ghost in 2018's Ant-Man and the Wasp, directed by Peyton Reed. Last seen in 2025's Thunderbolts, aka The New Avengers, directed by Jake Schreier. So again, a very different take on the character, but somewhat familiar, at least when it comes to the powers and the intangibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the basis of the character is incredibly different. So quick recap, at a young age, Ava was exposed to this extreme level of quantum energy, which then empowered her with the ability to render herself intangible and generate extreme amounts of power or energy. And despite her gain, she was still orphaned because her parents died in that tragic accident. And then she was later consoled by Bill Foster, aka Giant Man, aka Goliath, mm-hmm. who was an ex-colleague of her father's. And he promised to find a cure for her accelerating disease. And so he created the quantum chamber and then that ghost suit that we see in Ant-Man and the Wasp. And it is crazy. I was thinking about this, how the events of Captain America Winter Soldier really had their effect on the MCU in whole.
Yeah.
Because of the shield factor, right?
Yes.
And yeah, because S.H.I.E.L.D. was reflected both in Ant-Man and the Wasp because of this.
Yeah.
As well as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so it was like a kind of like this intersection of sorts. And so imagine Ava's parents, because they were S.H.I.E.L.D. agents at one point.
Yes.
That then made a switch. And so if that none of that happened, we wouldn't have...
we wouldn't have
Ghost, actually.
Yeah.
It might have not happened because the... particles, the machine that they had created, etc., etc. And so the result of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s downfall then resulted in Ava going back to Bill Foster.
Yes.
Which, again, may have not happened. She might have just died.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Exactly. So it's kind of weird how that works out. But the thing is that, you know, she had... been trained by Bill to be a prime S.H.I.E.L.D. agent so well that she was like a ghost op for them.
Uh-huh.
And they used her and abused her to the point where, yeah, the downfall, thankfully, instead of her going complete rogue, went back to Bill Foster.
Yeah, and Bill Foster kind of taking her in.
Yeah, and tried to help her, which is really nice because, yeah, again, he it's almost like he kind of felt at fault. Because we'll talk about it soon enough, but he almost felt like he was at fault for it. Not only the S.H.I.E.L.D. component, but also because he knew her parents.
Yeah.
And so she had nobody. And so, yeah, for the vast majority of that film, you know, Ghost was looked at like a villain. Although she's more like a misunderstood adversary for the most part, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, thankfully, with her return from the quantum realm, Janet Van Dyne was then able to transfer some of her... the energy.
Quantum energy.
Yeah, it took me took me a watch or two to really under. I was like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
Because like, so she was there so long that she was almost irradiated with quantum energy.
Yeah.
Came back to the real timeline and then just transferred it into Ava. And I was like, oh, okay. But it still wasn't stable enough because we see in Thunderbolts, she's still kind of struggling a little bit.
With some,
she still needs the suit.
Yeah.
She can't be without it. So
yeah.
It's very interesting. And so she's able to regulate it, just not to perfection. So for aesthetic, when I put this image together of all of the ghost outfits, the more the MCU ones made sense. I was actually quite impressed by how much they've incorporated ghosts comic book outfits.
Yeah, I was going to say, the first one is literally...
It's literally Knight and Taskmaster. But
the middle one, what's going on? What is he doing with his hand?
It's very... Oh, I know. Wow, Jeff.
That's where my mind goes.
I see it now.
The second one looks like a stormtrooper.
The second one is very interesting. It's like... It's almost something out of Hellboy.
The
guy with the blades in the first film and in the comics. But yeah, it's very interesting. So they very much took elements of the comic book version into the MCU with both of Ghost's suits.
Yeah.
From the eyes to the color to the textures, even down to like how many bars she has on her chest.
Yeah.
There's three in the comics. So really impressed by that. So the Ant-Man and the Wasp costume designer was Louise Frogley, and then Thunderbolt's costume designer was Sonia Milkovic-Hayes. And so pretty decent. I think they did a great job, especially with transitioning the character from a male figure to a female figure, too. That's also challenging, like we've seen with Taskmaster, for instance.
Yeah.
They had to go at it twice. But I think with Ghost, they kind of nailed it right off the bat both times.
I like her outfit in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
More.
Yeah.
I was going to say, so do I do. Actually.
But if it had the Thunderbolts mask.
Yeah.
I think that's like my would be like, slick. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that too, because I think the point of the stylization in Ant-Man and the Wasp is because it looks like an insect.
Yeah.
Which ties it in more to the theme. And it's like, oh, you're so clever. But yeah, I agree. If they had the Thunderbolts mask with the first outfit, oh man. It's so slick.
Yeah.
Maybe in the next movie. I don't know.
We'll see whenever. In Doomsday.
As for powers and paraphernalia, short and sweet. You're going to love this, Jeff.
Finally.
Expert computer scientist, proficient in all varieties of technology, gifted with arsenal, inventor, and proficient in firearms.
See, that's normal.
Yeah,
that is
no super
perfectly
anything.
Fine. Mm-hmm. She can't read minds. She can't regenerate.
Superhuman strength,
speed, supersonic speed.
None of it.
Regenerative.
Nope. None of it.
She can even die.
Yeah, not even like superhuman intelligence.
Yeah.
It's quite literally just an expert computer scientist.
Hell yeah.
And so Ghost in the MCU, of course, however, suffers from something called molecular disequilibrium. Best described by Ava herself as every cell in my... Oh, how would she say it? Can you do a good Ava?
Oh my God. She's got a good accent. Is she English?
I think she's English, yeah.
Every cell in my body is torn apart and stitched back together over and over every day.
There you go. Yeah, she's got a soft European British accent, I guess. But yeah, so she's... Again, it's this molecular... disequilibrium, but it's also a power.
Yes.
And so in the comics, at one point during his first appearance, Tony Stark notes to Ghost, whatever devices he's using must not be able to keep him transparent and immaterial at the same time. And that accounted for Ghost's visibility during phasing in the comics. So they adapted that really, really well in the MCU.
Mm.
So while the MCU version wasn't a computer scientist, they at least got the powers on point together, which is, it's pretty cool. And so in the MCU, this grants her quantum mutation abilities, including enhanced strength, durability, speed, and agility, intangibility, and visibility. So she gets it from the suit.
Yes.
But to your point and to your enjoyment, she is not superhuman at all.
Yeah.
It's just the suit. And then notably in the comics, mental instability is Ghost's one true weakness, which could be said of Ava in the MCU, because in addition to her sensitivity to piercing sound waves, that also happens in the comics. And so that's how I mentioned earlier how Tony was able to stop Ghost in that first appearance issue, is that he uses this sound wave device, which is not unlike
the one in the Thunderbolts.
Yeah. In the vault. So I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Or what they use when they were in the car chase scene.
Yeah.
Exactly. On top of the Humvee. Yeah.
Yeah. So they've adapted those particular facets of the character very well, which is pretty awesome. And again, no superhuman elements, just this very interesting power. As for family, friends, and affiliations, so parents, can't help you there. We don't know who he is. Like, there's nothing there. I don't know. But in the MCU, Ava has Elias and Catherine Starr, portrayed by Michael Cerveris and Ryan Steele, respectively. And they were first and last seen in Ant-Man and the Wasp. And so, unfortunately, despite his S.H.I.E.L.D. roots, Elias wasn't entirely a great guy. And so he was aiming to steal the tech that Pym had created involving the quantum reel, tried to make his own, tried to make a cheaper version of it, a faster version. And while he was able to replicate the tech to a degree, it came with a cost because it exploded. And it granted his daughter the very powers that would then haunt her for the rest of existence. Not to mention, he killed himself, his wife, and their staff. So she was the only person that survived that explosion. Right.
Yeesh.
Yeah, and I almost forgot that happened on screen. I was like, oh yeah, that's... I haven't seen Ant-Man and the Wasp in a while. I think it holds up through. Yeah, I was really impressed by that movie. Like, it really is a shame that Quantumania didn't hit a few marks, because Ant-Man is so solid otherwise. No pun intended. As for other people in Ghost's life, Bill Foster. So in the comics, Bill Foster is none other than a biochemist hired for Tony Stark's Baltimore research facility, and he worked alongside Hank Pym at that particular location. Otherwise, believe it or not, zero connection in comic continuity. Nothing at all. Whereas in the MCU, Bill Foster / Goliath is portrayed by Lawrence Fishburne. First seen in 2018's Ant-Man and the Wasp from Peyton Reed. Last seen, technically, in 2024's What If? Season 3, episode What If? ...
Wow.
The Red Guardian stopped the Winter Soldier. So we've actually seen him more in animation than film.
That's
because
true.
He's only
yes.
been in one movie.
Wow.
Isn't that weird to think about? You're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Lawrence Fishburne in 7 years.
Like, I know. And like, didn't see like anything kind of come to fruition about it with that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, right?
Wow.
And so we haven't covered Bill, considering he's only in that film. Maybe we'll get a chance someday, because Goliath is a very interesting character on his own. And you know, he's very, very Ant-Man heavy, but we could certainly talk about him. And yeah, we've seen him a little bit more in animation than film. And we learned a lot about him in that short amount of time. And so in the MCU, Bill is portrayed as this brilliant S.H.I.E.L.D.-trained scientist who previously worked alongside Hank Pym on Project Goliath, focusing on Pym particles and their ability to expand and contract. And as we mentioned above, his research and successes primed him for helping Ava with her quote-unquote disease. So the question is... What happened between the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp and Thunderbolts?
Yeah.
Because at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp, Bill and Ava went into hiding together.
Yes.
He promised her he wouldn't leave her. She was like, no, you should go without me. And he was like, no. And then they hugged.
No.
And then, and then that was it. That was the last we'd seen of them.
I mean.
And she doesn't even mention him once in Thunderbolts.
I know.
Not even once.
Hey, man. Maybe some things are just... Yeah. Getting retconned, you know? Like,
maybe, right?
Like, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah, so it's very possible. And you know, again, she's also Shadow Ops now. So
yeah,
She's also...
She went back.
An Avenger.
She is now an Avengers. And so speaking of the Thunderbolts, so in the comics, of all the characters we've covered after this film, Ghost has one of the stronger links to the actual team in the comics.
Love that. Which
is very interesting, yeah. And so Ghost, he had been a part of Luke Cage's iteration of the team.
Wow.
In the early aughts, alongside Moonstone, Crossbones, Juggernaut, Songbird, that's Mel, by the way.
Yeah.
Mach 5, Fixer, Man-Thing.
Interesting.
And Hyperion.
Wow.
So you've been introduced to Sentry, but you haven't been introduced to Hyperion yet.
Like the theater?
Nope. one day, I think you'll
powerful.
Very powerful.
Well,
yeah, and then there's also Gladiator, but you might be familiar with Gladiator. He's purple. He's got a mohawk. He's from space. He was in X-Men 97.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
They're all kind of
yes.
in this.
Yes.
Yeah. So Hyperion is yet to show his face in MCU, but I have a feeling we're going to see him in the next 5 to 10 years. And as previously mentioned, it's rare that an MCU version of the team cross paths with their counterparts in the comics. But I don't think Ghost had any crossover with the Big Six. So there's no Bucky, there's no Yelena, none of those.
Okay.
Certainly not Red Guardian and Sentry.
Yes.
Like, Ghost is such a weird C-list character.
Like, that different C side of the character.
Super duper, yeah. I think Ghost has about like 100-something appearances in the comics. Not too many.
Not a lot.
Yeah, it's not a lot in comparison. So, but they have a very strong tie to Thunderbolts. So it's very interesting. And it does make sense why they would then pull in the MCU version.
Yeah.
And so once again, speaking of MCU, backtrack to episode 107 for more on these crazy kids in the MCU. So yeah, again, somewhere after Ant-Man and the Wasp, Bill Foster had not only successfully kept Ghost safe, he also managed to create this new suit, presumably,
yeah,
that she was able to remain stable in.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yes.
And then somehow this led Ghost to being, quote unquote, on the run from 15 nations, as confirmed by John Walker in the movie. Before or with her recruitment by Valentina as a shadow operative. So it's like, what happened?
I know.
Because that was kind of the path that she was going on after she presumably left S.H.I.E.L.D. and before Bill, quote unquote, rescued her.
Yeah.
She was kind of in this weird gray area. So I guess she just went back to that for some reason.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Don't know. I would love to. I wish that would be part of like the deleted scenes that they show. Maybe,
yeah, you how know, she it's acquires. Like it's like, hey, you have to just. We didn't even really see a void room of her. No,
nothing.
Not much.
Nothing.
Just kind of like that little backstory.
Yeah, because even with Bucky, if you pay enough attention, you see he's coming out of the room where he would always get mind wiped.
Yes.
Nothing with Ghost. Nothing. Not even a sliver. She just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
All together. So, I feel like there's a lot that they've kind of unfortunately shaved away.
Yeah.
But there's so much, so many questions.
Yeah. Hey. I mean, you could always just say like, yeah, she was recruited by Valentina and yeah.
Yeah. And that was, it's like, yeah, money talks, baby.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it was for John, like in Falcon Winter Soldier. So, no,
yeah.
Like it is what it is, but she's still one of the coolest characters, I think.
Yeah.
And I think Hannah just plays her like it's so just well. It's so cool.
It's great.
She's just so cool.
Makes her very compelling.
Yeah.
Even though she's only been in two things.
Yeah.
Right? Wild. Like she's in a couple of What If, but I mean, in MCU continuity, she's only been in two things.
Yes.
Crazy. So what are your, do you have any favorite Ghost moments in the film?
Oh my gosh.
Or with the team.
Even. In Thunderbolts?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, them in the limo.
In the limo
is hilarious. Like, oh, is that Bucky? Yeah, there's a lot of like, yeah, I like Ghost a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like Hannah does it so
she's
does
great
she,
job.
She's great. She just plays it so well.
And she just has like this sort of balance to her, right?
Yeah.
Like, again, we're referring to when Yelena is just going after all of them. And she's like, and you, you're not even a nice person. And she's just like, bitch.
Like, damn, okay, yeah. My bad.
She's very subdued,
yeah,
and cool in a weird way. But you also get the air that she's very put together, ironically
yeah.
enough,
yeah.
for what happens to her. And she's just very good at what she does.
Yes.
And so she's not perfect, but no. She's just happens to fit in so well with these miscreants. yeah, I don't know. I don't have any favorite. I don't know that I have favorite moments, but I think she's just, and I think we said this in our Thunderbolts episode, they're all scene stealers whenever any of them come in.
They're so good.
They're all so
good.
Like,
how does that band of, yeah. first of all, actors and band of heroes yeah. work?
Yeah.
And it works.
And it works so well. But I do, I don't know if you've fallen down this rabbit hole at all, but I've been properly exposed to Ghost Walker.
No.
Guess what it is, Jeff?
No, I don't even know. If that's some
Ghost Walker,
if that's some ship fanfic type thing, oh no!
I was like, "What are these fan cams?" Because I would see like clips from Thunderbolts right on my For You, and I was like, "Oh, what is this?"
Nope.
Click on it, John Walker and Ghost. I was like, "You know what, though?"
No! It's no shipping out here.
Of all people, you wouldn't ship that. Ghost Walker?
I don't know. I mean, I'm team just no shit.
Yeah, no, I feel it. And I feel like of all people, it's this group of characters that are like, they have things, but I think they work better, which is why I feel they also didn't reintroduce Milena into the mix, because Red Guardian on his own is less involved had they thrown in Iron Maiden again.
Yeah.
And Mama and all that stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Ghost Walker?
That's so funny, man.
It's so funny. I was like, oh, the kids, man. The kids are just eating it up. And I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe.
Speaking something into existence that shouldn't exist. Yeah.
They constantly do it. Like Foggy and Matt. Yeah, Andrew hates that one. I'm sorry, Andrew.
Hey, I'll take that one.
And so, speaking of love interests,
mm-hmm.
for Ghost, man, there's just the one. It was just Shauna.
Shauna.
So the friend from work who didn't even end up being a real friend.
Ah.
So yeah, again, she initially in the origin story for Ghost, she showed light interest in him. That seemed genuine. But the bosses took her aside and they said, because she was like, oh, my computer's running really slow. Could you help me?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, sure. And he just like, just clear your cache, give it a refresh, restart it. It's good. She got reprimanded for wasting his time. The bosses pulled her aside and said, he has better things to do. Don't talk to him. So that's where the point of, oh, she's interested in him. Let's actually use her. And that's how they paid her off. And she wanted more money. And then they killed her. Yeah, so it started simple and innocent. And it blew up into this unfortunate house fire. And that was it. And so unfortunately, that was the only love interest that they've shown for Ghost in the comics. Even now, he's on, you know, again, he was on Thunderbolts and he was around Moonstone, who, you know, she's at least in the early aughts, she was very provocative looking.
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't, it's not there for him. He is completely not interested in anything.
Yeesh.
Very, very, again, zeros and ones make sense, but the rest of it, no, not at all. And of course, there is no MCU counterpart whatsoever for Shauna. And hell, you know, Ava doesn't even seem to make any room for romantic linkage. So, yeah, that's it. She just got Collins.
Wow.
And that's it. That's it. She got nothing. She's got her family, her found family, and that's it. As for notable adversaries, you know, like we said up top, there's Tony Stark, whoa, Iron Man, because, you know, Ghost made their first appearance, their debut in the title. And it is a pretty logical counterpart to Stark by way of tech alone, because, you know, they tangled quite a bit. So it was always about the tech with Ghost and Iron Man, and in the comics, intersecting with a giant suite of characters. And so, speaking of the characters I mentioned earlier, so by proxy, because Ghost is linked to Iron Man, it then put Ghost in the scope of Justin Hammer, of Black Widow. So we see Ghost, at least in the classic issues, go toe-to-toe with these characters and immerse themselves in this world because, you know, he's doing what villains do. Like, I'm going to hack this computer and steal all the money.
Sure.
And bomb this nation. And then Black Widow's like, no, I'm going to stop you. That's what they all do.
That's what they all want.
And they all get stopped. But yeah, so it is interesting that, again, they went from this very tech-heavy origin to a more scientific one in the MCU. But yeah, we got him well enough covered as far as Iron Man is concerned. So, you know, considering everything we said up top, so let's just leave it at that. Whereas, of course, in the MCU, Tony Stark, Iron Man, portrayed by Robert Downey Jr. at one point, now Dr. Doom.
Uh-huh.
First seen in 2008's Iron Man, last seen in 2019's Avengers Endgame. We were robbed. Let's move on. That's all I put. I was like, that would have actually been pretty compelling.
It would have been crazy.
It would have been a different origin story for Ava, yes. But it would have been very compelling.
Yeah.
Instead, however, we did get Scott Lang, a.k.a. Ant-Man. And so in the comics, there is no connection. And at best, he's marginally had a crossover with Hank Pym's version of Ant-Man.
Sure.
But nothing of significance with Scott, Hope, or Janet. Because again, Hope doesn't exist in the comics. Hope Van Dyne does not exist.
Yes.
It's Nadia.
That's right.
Yeah, Nadia Pym. Instead.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, Scott Lang, Ant-Man in the MCU, portrayed by the ever young Paul Rudd. First seen in 2015's Ant-Man, last seen in 2023's Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. 2023, for the record. Is that really 2 years ago?
Barely 2 years ago.
Wild. It feels like it wasn't that long ago, but I guess it's going on 3 years now.
Yeah.
Both of those films, of course, directed by Peyton Reed. And so in the MCU, these two are merely adversaries by circumstance. Again, Scott kind of just gets twisted up in the Pym and Van Dyne drama because of his affiliation with Hope.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as many know, Ghost came into conflict with the Ant-Man crew due to the attempt of fixing her disease.
Yeah.
So it's all quantum related. And she just wanted to regulate and recalibrate her cellular structure. So what better way to do that than with, you know, Pym-tech? And so, like I said above, she's more like a misunderstood adversary than a villain, than a straight up villain in the MCU, at least until Thunderbolt. Because, you know, when you shoot somebody in the head cold and blooded, it's kind of changes your character.
Yep.
But, yeah, again, thankfully the Ant-Man crew are a bunch of softies, so it wasn't so bad in that film. But then Thunderbolts hardened her real good. Down to the black attire, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, right? God, yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's very interesting, the color significance. And then there's Valentina Allegra de Fontaine. Nope.
Mm.
Try not to be surprised. Nothing to do with one another in the comics. Whereas in the MCU, she's portrayed by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who first made her debut in The Stinger, featured in 2021's Black Widow. Also portrayed by Kiara Stella as young Valentina in Thunderbolts. And so, as we discussed in our Walker and Taskmaster episodes, at some point in MCU continuity, Valentina was able to coerce Ava into becoming part of her shadow ops, and over time assigned her to take out Taskmaster in the vault where all the shit goes down.
Crazy.
Rip.
Crazy.
I can still hear that bullet.
I know.
Like, you can just hear
it. You're just like, whoa.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
She's dead.
I remember when we were in that theater, I was like, did they really just kill her? Like, did they just kill her?
They did.
And they did. Do you have any theories of what must have happened? Is it really just the money? Or did something tragic happen to Bill Foster?
That's where my mind would go.
What?
That something happened to Bill Foster. And then she's like, okay, well, I need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, I mean, we can theorize for, you know,
ages.
For ages. Like, yeah. What if Valentina did approach Ghost?
Mm.
I was like, yo, I like, you know, in the same way that, you know, she did for John Walker.
Yeah.
And then Ghost initially said, no, like, it's not really what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, brought it, you know, I want to stay with Bill, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Valentina kills Bill.
I mean, at this rate.
Just to be like, what are you going to do now? Like,
yeah.
Like, I could do, you know.
Or someone killed Bill.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, oh my God, like yeah. It's kind of like when she approached Yelena visiting Nat's grave.
Yeah, yeah,
and it's like, oh my gosh, like I know who killed, you know.
Who killed your sister.
I know who killed.
It was this man.
Yeah, like I can help you. Like, and if you do this for me, you'll get paid this much.
Right.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
God, that would be horrible if she did something to Bill Foster.
Yeah.
We've only seen so much of him.
I know.
Like, come on, man.
I know.
There's room for him to come back. Somehow, we need a giant Goliath man. Yeah, I agree. I think there's something there. Maybe we'll get to see it. Even if we don't, I think they've established Ava enough in Thunderbolts that she almost doesn't necessarily need it. Would be nice to clarify something. But yeah, I think they've kind of settled her and that's who she is now. It's not so much the Ant-Man version.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, I mean, still on the route of Valentina, she then became everybody's problem because of her manipulation.
Yeah.
And overarching inability to not be a bad person. She is not capable of not being a bad person. So, yeah, she made her a pretty big mark for not only Ava, but each individual Thunderbolt in the film. And then, last but not least, Robert Reynolds, a.k.a. Sentry. Comics? Nope. Nothing.
Yeah, I believe
nothing,
it.
Nothing at all. And whereas in the MCU, portrayed by Lewis Pullman, of course, same goes for Bob. You know, the paths cross, everything becomes everyone's problem, and he becomes a problem for her just by proxy. And again, I don't really even remember them fighting as much as he fought with everybody else. Because, yeah, what is she compared to a god, she can only phase out.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of it.
Yeah.
So she was like, nope. But that said, what do we think Ava saw in her void room?
I think it's her parents dying.
Yeah.
That's what my guess would be.
That and or
the, Bill Foster dying.
Or Bill Foster dying. yeah, for sure. That I agree. That or her.
That would be crazy.
Just constantly being pulled apart.
Yeah.
Over and over again. Because, you know, she seemed to emphasize that that was just a horrible, horrible thing for her. Yeah, I think that's it. Very, very interesting. But yeah, I saw it in passing amidst these Ghost Walker videos that somebody had mentioned. Yeah, it would have been nice to see maybe on the home versions, what did everybody else's void rooms look like if they filmed that? One could hope, but you know, we'll just have to use our imagination. I
know.
I
mean, yeah, maybe it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, it's just one of those, yeah. Like,
yeah,
you don't need to. Really have to,
especially, you know, it's like you used to say, you know, over exposition, right?
Yeah.
And it's, what is it actually going to contribute to the film? Because if again, like I even said, you know, how many people actually watched Quantumania that are still in it now, you know, in the game and watching all these MCU films?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to say, you know, maybe not that many people would have. And then so all the newcomers would be like, what is this from? Not even realizing it's from another movie. So yeah. I think they made the right decision overall, but still would have been nice to see. As for almost was, zero zip zilch, did not find a thing. As some may already know, Hannah actually got the ultimate reference by way of Steven Spielberg, with whom she had already worked on Ready Player One with. So needless to say,
wow, really?
He quite literally called up, I don't know if it was Feige or Peyton Reed, and he was like, you gotta work with John Kamen. She's amazing. And she got the job.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then like, she was in like a movie with Wyatt, right?
I believe so.
That's how they know each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Nepotism. But yeah, shoe in for her. And it's great because, yeah, she brings such a unique flavor to the MCU, not only as Ava, but also just herself.
Okay.
Yeah, she's very interesting. And so for the future of the character in the MCU, so as we mentioned, Ghost has already been confirmed for to return in Avengers Doomsday.
Yes.
So what do we think? What do we think? What are we thinking? What are we feeling?
I mean, it's the new Avengers, and I mean, if you haven't seen that set photo.
Yeah. That's so funny.
In the photo, it's Danny Ramirez's
Falcon.
Falcon. Mm-hmm. We have Eben Boss as the Thing in his, you know, in his CGI motion suit.
Yeah.
And then huddled over a little console.
Dashboard
is Wyatt, is a U.S. agent.
Looking strong, John!
In his little
Beret.
Yeah. And you're kind of like, huh.
What are you doing there,
and
buddy?
And they're on a ship of sorts. You're like, is that?
They're on the ship.
Is that? I don't know.
But given this, given what we've discussed in this episode alone, both on the tech and scientific side, at first I was like, what is she going to do in Doomsday? And then I'm like, actually, there's a lot that she can do in Doomsday. So,
I mean, everyone thinks like, what can Hawkeye do? And, you know,
that's a fact.
Same thing with Nat. She's just guns and bullets, you know, fighting extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
Beings. Yeah. So it's like, who cares, man?
Yeah, she's got a lot to give to this fight, whatever it ends up being, be it Doctor Doom or something.
Random
bigger.
Side tangent: Iman Vellani was not
announced.
Yeah, no, huh?
Yeah, no.
Iman and America and Sochi.
The youngins were not. So I'm like, what are you guys waiting for? They're not going to be the young Avengers anymore. They're going to be straight up Avengers.
Or maybe they
might be part of the second half that is yet to be announced.
Yeah. Maybe they did form the young Avengers because that's obviously on.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's still technically New York.
Yeah.
Well, it could form in the Bay.
And now they have Ironheart. She could join as well.
Yeah, but you know, she made sort of a bad deal.
Oh, that's true. Spoiler alert.
Some would say it's a deal with the devil, but yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, dude. Oh man.
I was like a side because it's like
no Iman. Yeah. No Ms. Marvel. No America Chavez. Okay,
which still blows my mind because I think I said this. I forget what episode I said this on where I was she's the only hero.
Yeah.
That there's only two people in the MCU right now that are alone at what they do. It's America and Galactus. There's a one America.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bunch of
everybody else.
Yeah. A bunch of everybody else.
Yeah.
So
I am just very curious what they're doing over there.
Like, you're telling me the girl who could travel multiverses by herself?
Great power of responsibility.
Like, you're not telling me that someone Dr. Doom wants to, I don't know.
Jeff, we've seen Peggy Carter every year since Endgame.
I have nothing against Hayley Atwell.
I don't either.
But I get it.
But I'm there. I'm like, you need to go.
I don't know. America Chavez just because what? Wanda wanted her for a reason. Yeah. It just makes sense, you know, that, I don't know, Dr. Doom might want America Chavez for a reason.
It's good, especially I've seen some potential. Story.
This is how deep I am into freaking, like, theories.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who, like, say that, like hey, like, they got like scoops and everything, and I don't know, maybe you believe it. Like, I'll read it, but then you'll forget it when you actually watch it when it comes out.
Yeah.
But then it'll resurface after it comes out and be like, oh my god, remember when this person was like, yo.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've read some like theories of like what's, you know, gonna happen and stuff, and it's like, yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting. It's very like I'm getting very big like a yeah. Like Secret Wars type beat.
That makes sense.
You know?
Sure.
Like, oh my god.
Well, I still think there's potential that they're gonna flip the title on us. And it's not Doomsday. It's straight up Secret Invasion. Not Secret Invasion, Secret Wars.
Well, Secret Wars could be the part two.
Yeah. I feel like it's not
Hey,
it's not concrete.
Look, there's There's a script. surprisingly, we haven't got much really, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. big crazy leaks, unless you're just a straight up nerd with who's unemployed. Man. But sorry to the nerds who are unemployed. But
yeah,
I'm excited. I mean, look, you have the new Avengers.
Yeah,
you got Fantastic Four teaming up.
Yeah.
That's not a theory. That's happening.
So wild. I just hope. I mean, this is silly to say, but I just hope there aren't any horrendous casualties in Doomsday.
I hope there is.
Naturally, which I meant to ask you: do you watch Squid Game?
No.
It's definitely your show.
People died?
People die in every episode, homie.
See, that's what I'm talking about right there.
I was like,
build up the audience, get them to love them. Awful.
That's exactly what they do in Squid Game. That's exactly what they do.
And people and audience always complain, like, why? I like them so much. Exactly.
I was watching season 3, which is the final season.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, Jeff would love this show.
People just dying?
They're just dying left and right.
Side tangent, can you tell me how it ends?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are
I'm not serious? Watching. I literally don't watch it.
Short version, the guy who won the first game.
Player 456, right?
Player 456 takes on a child that player 222 had mid-game. 222 sacrificed herself because she had a broken ankle. And then all this shit goes down. 456 takes the baby who was then enlisted as 222. They're the last two players.
Alive.
He kills himself. He drops off of a giant scaffolding.
He kills himself?
He kills himself.
Wow.
Lets the baby win the money.
Uh-huh.
She's taken back. And then, who is she? Oh, she's given to someone.
Yeah.
With all the winnings.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Die, why'd you spoil?
But yeah, it's like trifling. Like,
so where does the...
Like 4 people die in episode 2. I was like, oh my God, I love that character. Yeah, and they just die. They just fall off. They're just dead like flies.
Wow, I'm going to YouTube that. I'm going to be like ending.
I know.
I'm just going to YouTube it.
I was legit like, oh my God. Like, I thought they were going to let them both go. I thought because they kind of build up that the main guy, the villain... Because they became friends in season 2. Because
yes.
He pretended he was in the game.
That I remember.
Yeah. And so I thought, oh, maybe he'll just let him go. No. He was literally like, you have to make a decision. And he put the baby down. And he's like, humans are not horses. And then he just jumps off. And I was like, holy shit.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
He died. Yeah.
All right.
He died. And then his daughter, the because technically it's still also a tie. Because he had earnings too. They like half seed the earnings or whatever. The villain guy comes to LA, literally comes to LA because 456's daughter lives here.
Uh huh.
And he gives her the money and his uniform.
Wow.
Mm. So she's like a millionaire now.
Jeez.
She and the baby are millionaires now.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. I think you should just look up a supercut of like all the deaths in Squid Games.
That's what we need. We need.
We don't need.
And like, I hate when like I don't hate it, but like when people in MCU like oh they went like oh they killed them off, but they could have done so much more. And it's like, who cares? Kill them off.
Just kill them off. Well, they're supposed to die, right?
Like, yeah.
They can't be forever.
Like, dude, because the more you keep adding characters to this universe, yeah. The more audience is going to feel like, but what happened? Whatever happened? Yeah. And then it's happened in the last, like,
yeah.
you know, couple of years. Well,
we literally just talked about America.
Like, yeah.
I mean, is she dead? Is Bill Foster dead?
Yeah. So it's like, just kill him.
Time and place for everything, yeah. Jeff.
No, just kill him.
God, well, it's coming. It's coming in a year and a half.
Yeah.
So you'll get something soon.
Like, what if, like, just don't kill my girl, Kate Bishop, though. Don't.
Bro, you can't have it both ways.
Look.
Look. The world needs a Hawkeye, I guess.
Exactly.
Gosh, but yeah, just, we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's going to be good.
God, I hope it's somebody that I love. I'm going to be so mad if it's somebody that I love. If it's Bucky, yeah, it's not going to be Bucky. Can't be.
All right, I'm gonna start a trend. Hashtag kill Bucky, guys.
No! Oh, God, there's so many, so many ways.
Does Bucky die before he gets with a widow?
Probably.
Hashtag Winter Widow.
Hashtag Winter Widow. How dare you, sir? So anyway.
What comes first? Bucky dying? Or Winter Widow? Stilt Man.
Oh my God. I'm still banking on Stilt Man. Still banking on Stilt Man. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Oh, man.
Had to throw that in there.
If
should bro, we make like, a, Stiltman's going to appear make in Marvel a bet Rivals
if we
point.
See, like, Seb and Florence kiss, like, before, like, I don't know, like, whatever.
Stiltman?
Before Seb dies, I don't know.
God, he can't die. Please don't kill him.
I think he's technically the longest running. He's the longest. Is he the longest now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to kill him.
Unless you count, who was it? It was somebody from the previous films. Unless you count Wesley Snipes. He is the longest.
Sure.
I don't count Wesley Snipes. I don't.
Yeah, Bucky needs to go, man.
Jack. So anyway,
Run a poll on the stories.
Oh, man. Suggested reading. So 2006, I only have three for Ghost, by the way. Oh, 2006 wow. Run of Thunderbolts, more so in the 150s range, especially for Ghost's stories, as well as Origin. And so that line comes courtesy of Jeff Parker, Kev Walker, Frank Martin, and their team. Next up, 1964 is Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 25 from David Michelinie, Guang Yap, Bud LaRosa, and Bob Sharon. And so that one is really interesting. Kingpin, of all people, hired a ghost to sabotage Roxxon Corp. That sounds familiar.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and then last but not least, the 1987 issues of Iron Man, primarily 219 through 221, which is basically that first arc for the first appearance of Ghost, and then the subsequent meltdown. If you know, you know. It's pretty funny. So with all that said, that's the end of the show.
Wow.
Thanks for listening. And so next episode, again, with the arrival of Ironheart Season 1 complete, join us in a couple of weeks for our series review ahead of our Riri Williams character study.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, a thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and a special We Are Groot salute to Ashley, Nats, Tyler, Sherry, Andrew, Chris, Edgar, Laura, Joel...
Nice. Joris.
I can't mess that up. It's
Sorry, Joris.
Joris. Melanie, Katie, Ed, Andrea, Jenny, and Ariel. Follow us on social at STRKCNTRST. And if you like what you hear, please review, rate, and subscribe.
Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Every cell in my body is torn apart and stitched back together over and over every day.